So today, I think we only have about 40 minutes, so I'll try to wrap up as much as I can and give some time for Q&A at the end of the session. So maybe about 10 minutes, we have a Q&A session. So today's topic is on conflict. To give you a context about the topic, it's because it's more like a COVID kind of inspired topic. As you all know that we are now these days are homebound, and when we spend too much time or a lot of time with people at home, we like it or not, the likelihood of us getting in conflict with the people that we spend time a lot together is also increasing. So I thought it's quite useful and also timely topic to talk about and discuss on conflict. So yeah, that's why we chose the topic of conflict. Now, what is conflict? So my best source basically is obviously dictionary.com. So I looked up what the definition of conflict. So the definition they say is conflict is fight, battle or struggle, a quarrel, a discord of feeling, action, opposition, collision. So all these are conflict. But if you want to narrow it down, it's basically rooted by one. The main thing is differences. It's because of our differences that's why we have conflict. If we all have the same views, the same values, the same habit, the same personalities, we probably won't have a lot of conflict. Now, differences in itself actually is not a problem. In fact, differences are normal. We are all different. Even though people are brought up by the same parents, living in the same household, they could have different personalities. So we all are conditioned, not just conditioned by our upbringing, but we're also conditioned by what we see, what we watch, what we listen to, and also our friends, and what we do. So we are all conditioned differently. And nobody, even identical twins, have exactly the same personalities. So because we are very different, it's actually normal because it's expected anyway. We are all expected to be different. So it's not a problem. But then why is conflict a problem, or why differences can be a problem? I will say it's because down to our attachment. Is our attachment to our views, our liking and disliking, our preferences. It's because of that, that's why we have conflict. Because if you think about it, if people have different views to you, in itself, it's actually not a problem. Why are you upset when somebody else think differently? It's because you want them to think like you do. But why can't they think the way they do? And why only you think the way you do? So it doesn't make sense, right? So it's basically, it's our own attachment is the problem. Yet I wouldn't say conflict is a problem. I would say that conflict can be an opportunity. It's actually a good chance, a good time for us to learn about ourselves, because at times of conflict, even not superficially, but in a less depth way, that we know what triggers, what makes us upset, what sort of thing that people say or do that makes us feel the way we felt. Why are we upset? What sort of attachment do we have? What are we holding on to? And then how do we... What people say, yes, it's conditioned by what people say, but it's actually what's within you that makes you respond to it, makes you feel angry. So if you have some sort of difficulty in life or conflict, it's actually a good chance for you to understand yourself more and deeply. So take the chance, if you have, if you don't have, it's, you're lucky. But if you have conflict, then take that opportunity to learn and grow about and find out more about yourself. Also, conflict can be a good initiation for open communication. A lot of times we have conflict because we misunderstand each other. We probably don't really know each other about each other. So it can foster, it actually can be a good start for us to have that open and frank communication with the person that we're having conflict with. So it's actually when you have open communication and honest communication, when we talk with each other, we don't take things personally. So it's about solving the problem. It actually can foster a more meaningful and deeper relationship with the other person. So it's actually not entirely bad. And also, when we are having conflict, first, we are not, you're not happy, and we probably have those kind of, maybe some people are feeling worried, anxious, affecting their eating, affecting their sleeping. But if we take the chance to sit back and reflect and understand ourselves and take that also a time of practice, because when we are in suffering, obviously we're looking for a solution. So that's why I find conflict can be a good opportunity, a good time for us to find out about ourselves, but also to overcome the suffering that we are experiencing. So one way we can also practice is practice our patience. When we are upset, we get angry, we might have to hold back and not say things what we want to say when we're angry, because if you do that, then you might make things worse. So we learn also to be patient. To be patient about us with ourselves and patient with other people at the same time. And we also practice forgiveness. When we are upset, when we are in the heat of a moment, we tend to say wrong things. We tend to do even things that's going to be hurtful for others. And when that happened, obviously somebody is hurt. When somebody's hurt, the best way or one of the remedy is forgiveness. Even ourselves can also feel hurt. And when we feel hurt, if we forgive ourselves for the wrong thing that we have said, wrong thing that we have done, it actually heals the pain. Because when you are angry or when you're holding something about the past, holding about your grudges, your anger, it actually burdens the heart and it weighs onto the heart. It becomes heavy. But when you forgive, you relax it. And you make it lighter. So forgiveness is important. So if you feel like you are not happy about it, maybe try to forgive, because we are upset. Obviously, upset is an emotion and there is a cause to the emotion. And usually what the cause is being hurt. When one is being hurt, they tend to get upset. So that's upset is just an emotional manifestation of underlying issue. And one of the underlying issues is feeling being hurt. So forgiveness can be helpful during this time. When also, it's good also to reflect, not just what had happened and what about yourself, about what triggers you, what your buttons, and how you respond. But at the same time, you also reflect about the situation. So if there is something that causes the conflict, so if you can understand the cause, and then you can try, learn from it, and hopefully in the future, you don't repeat the same mistake. Because if you don't spend the time to reflect, you might keep having the same mistakes or the same instances again and again and again. There's some wise sayings out there. They say sometimes when you keep having the same difficulties, it means that you haven't learned the lesson. So that's why it's important for us to reflect, not just to learn about ourselves, but also to help ourselves in the future so that we don't be in the same position again. We don't make the same mistake. So it's actually a good time to grow and to learn. Another thing that we can learn is also about letting go. Like I said, conflict usually, or differences usually is not a problem, but the problem is our attachment. So if we can also take this chance to let go of our attachment, what do we attach to? Usually we attach to our view, we become stubborn, we are stubborn. Our preferences, we like the way we want things to be. But your way might not be the best way, but in your mind is the best way. So we also good to learn to let go, to let go all of this. And then if conflict has happened, then what's next? Obviously, we did all the other steps of reflection and whatnot, but the conflict also a manifestation of a problem. There is a problem already. So what do you do to fix the problem? You need to fix the problem. If you let it be, it might be okay, but it might create more problem in the future. So the best way is actually to respond to it and try your best to solve the problem. But how do we solve the problem? Now, the Buddha gave a good simile. I believe you might have heard of the simile of the soul. It's in one of the sutta, the middle length sutta or Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya, verses 21. So in what the simile of the souls in the teaching says is that the Buddha gave a very graphic story or incidents. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, so it's in my own words, but the gist is, the Buddha said, even somebody, when they chop your limbs to pieces, if you have any ill will or any anger, aversion towards the person who is doing it to you, then you're not my disciple. You are my disciple if when somebody does that to you, in your mind, you harbor the goodwill, you harbor the care and kindness and compassion towards the person who's doing that to you, not just to the person who is harming you, but also to all other beings. That's the simile of the soul. So if you see that, it's so graphic. Imagine yourself being chopped by somebody in many pieces. One, it's very painful. You're lucky if you'll still be alive, but the process is very painful. And when you're being punched by somebody, you're already being angry, right? So imagine if you're being chopped and you still can't have the slight ill will in your mind. That is the standard the Buddha gave to his disciples. So that's what we should aspire to be, to have the thought and the mind of goodwill towards the people, everyone, regardless whether they treat you well or they treat you badly. So that's a standard. So bearing that in mind, when you have a conflict, remind yourself of that. Remind yourself of the simile of the soul, where the Buddha says, no matter how badly somebody treats you, you always maintain kind thought, goodwill towards the person and all other beings. Having that in mind, then you think of a way how to resolve the problem. So what I'm trying to say is that before you try to resolve the problem, check and reflect of your mind state. If your mind state is still full of greed or hatred, maybe step back and then do some bit of homework to do a more letting go processes, forgiveness, letting go, or do all other means that to overcome the unwholesome state of mind. Once you've done that, then you think objectively of the situation and then think of strategy or ways how you can overcome it. One thing that I find personally that is effective is communication. Because like I said, a lot of times, it's all come down to misunderstanding and miscommunication. Hardly anyone has intention to hurt anyone else. Hardly, unless this person has already held any grudges or anything like that, or being angry at you for so long. But usually they don't have that intention. So we do basing on our own view. We react basing on our view. We say things basing on our view. Our views, our habit, and all those sort of things. And those views might be different to other people. And that's why they might interpret it the way they see it, but you probably wasn't coming from that angle. So there is that misalignment in that sense. You see something in one angle, the other person sees it in a different angle. And basing on their own assumption, their own view, their own thinking, they interpret your action in their way. But essentially, it's not your interpretation. So there is that misalignment. So if you don't have the communication or exchanges in views, you probably assume your own views. You fail to see their perspective. So that's why communication is very effective in solving a conflict. However, communication alone is not enough. What you need is effective communication, because I can say A, B, C, D, but if the other person is hearing E, F, G, then it's not effective anymore. It's effective when I say A, B, C, D, the other person is also hearing A, B, C, D. That is effective communication. So sometimes it takes time and it takes effort to get the right effective communication with another person, but that is part of the practice. So that is part of our own self-development to learn the best way how to get our message across to someone else. And that requires a lot of emotional intelligence, requires a lot of patience, requires a lot of empathy. But that nobody's perfect. So we're bound to make mistakes along the way also. But that's okay. That's part of the process. Okay, so far, I've only spoken about conflict that we have with other people. There is another type of conflict that is way more important, which is internal conflict, the conflict that we have within ourselves. Why I say this important, even more important in my view than the conflict that we have with other people, is because when we have peace inside, we also have peace with other people. So when you are at peace within, you are also at peace without. And if that sounds really good, then we should aspire to do that, right? We should aspire to be in that state. How? The answer is very simple. The key to get there is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. You won't go wrong with the Noble Eightfold Path. And I can, with certainty, I can say, there is no, what do I say? You won't lose anything by following the path. That's what I'm trying to say. You actually gain a lot by following the path. And in simplicity, what it is generosity, morality, meditation, and also wisdom. So if we follow the path sincerely and full-heartedly, you will find less conflict in your life, internally and externally. So I'll leave that to you for your reflection today. I hope that is clear, but if you have any questions, feel free to let me know. We have another 10 minutes, I believe.
Yep. Quite a lot of time. Does anyone have any question? you guys want to ask? If no one has any question, I'll ask one actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Because you said that if you are angry or like upset to someone, right? And then it's better to just like step back and like think about it first and then try to forgive that person. But what if, so like for me, usually I just like step back. And then if I feel like I don't really need to, what's it called? Like this relationship, I don't really need the relationship with this person, then I'll just like leave it as it is. So I know it's wrong, but is there any like tips on how to kind of like fix that?
I don't know. Do you want to fix that or you don't want to fix it? Do you find it as a problem?
Because like sometimes for me, if I have like a problem with someone, but then I don't feel like I need to make things right with that person, sometimes I just like leave it as it is. Or like maybe if I said, maybe if I apologize, but don't really mean it. So
I can't say what you should do, but personally, what I normally, this is my personal view. You're open to take it or leave it. So basically for me, it all comes down to where I come from, what's my basis or what's my intention. So let's say like in your circumstances, I have a conflict with somebody and to be honest, probably I don't really care much about this person. So when I have a conflict, I'll probably think, that's too much. I'm not going to do anything about it. But then I reflect. But then for me, I like to reflect, what's the underlying tone in my mind? Is it something that is out of ill will? Is it something that out of aversion? Or is it neutral? If it's neutral, I don't hold any grudges. I don't hold any ill will. I just find it nothing that motivates me. Probably it's okay. I will keep doing nothing. But if there is a slight aversion that I feel towards this person, then the next thing that I do is overcome this aversion and then think of the next step. So if I can overcome this aversion and I feel like, hang a second, basing on my reflection, actually I made a mistake and I will apologize because of that. But the first and fundamental thing that I normally ask myself, why? Why do I respond that way? What is my intention behind it? Any slight aversion or ill will, I overcome the ill will. Yeah, that's my suggestion. But up to you. Everybody's different, and I can't tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that answer. We have another question here from Peter. Can you elaborate more in effective communication?
Communication, yes. So in a gist, it's just about whatever you want to tell the other person gets it. That's the gist of it. It's only effective when your message gets across the other person. If the other person still sees it differently, it means that it's not effective. And there are many ways of communication. So people might think that silent treatment is not the communication, but silent treatment is a form of communication. But I would like to highlight that that's the least effective communication that you can do with somebody else. Basing on my personal experience, that is not effective at all. One, you leave the other person guessing. What the heck is going on? Am I doing something wrong? Have I said something wrong? Does he not, or does she not like me, or what? So you left people guessing, and because of that, you don't get any message across at all. So that's my view. It's actually the worst type of communication. So please, if you can, don't do that. If you can, talk to the other person. And talking, now, when it comes to the details of effective communication, when you talk to somebody, there are many ways of telling, talking or communication. So you can do it by verbal, you can do it by in person, you can do it over the phone, you can even do a writing communication, written communication. Now, written communication is probably not as effective as you do it in person. The reason being is you type it. And when you type it, you probably have some sort of mental tone or feeling in your mind that influence the language that you pick, which is fine. Maybe somebody else pick it up, which is that's exactly what you want to try to say. But sometimes also with writing, it depends upon somebody who is reading it. So let's say I'm having a very busy day today and I read your message. I probably read it differently when I have such a calming and relaxing day, happy, and then I read your message. So that can also color the way somebody else interprets your message by writing communication. Another thing that you miss from writing written communication is that the tonality and body language. So the tone of your voice will say a lot more than the language itself. So by eliminating that, people also don't get that message. And body language is actually the most revealing in communication. So when you talk to somebody, their body language is actually telling you more than what they say. So when you do it, when as a person in effective in communication, to be more effective, you have to also learn how to listen. What you listen is not just what they say, it's also how they say, the tone of the tone of the voice, the volume, and then the pace, and also the body language. So those all comes down to effective listening, because you can only understand somebody if you listen. If once somebody says something and you start thinking already, you're not listening. So when you listen, give full attention and don't have preconception in your mind, because they have different view to you. Doesn't mean that they will see. To be able to see their view, you have to empty your view. You have to come with a blank page. Like a child, basically, don't have any concept or any notion. So you see from, try to see from their perspective. So if you manage to do that, then you have effective communication. That's why I say it's a skill, and also it takes experience, it takes mistakes, because we learn from mistakes. So the more you make mistakes, the more you learn, basically. So it's fine. If you don't get it right 100%, it's fine. And communication also becomes more effective when you understand the other person better. So the more you understand the other person, the more likely you understand what they're trying to say. But to understand the other person, you need the communication. So so the more you spend time with the other person, the more you talk to this person, you understand them better, and then your communication becomes more effective naturally as well. So I hope that makes sense. Does it make sense, Peter?
You can unmute your mic if you want to ask questions. If Peter say yes.
Thank you.
Did he send something, perhaps? Kindness in action. Do you want to elaborate this question?
Oh, what is this, Sean? Download. Do I need to download?
Sorry. This is my first time using Zoom, so I'm still trying to get kind of like going around. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, very well.
I'm not Zoom just because of you, Rose.
Oh, thank you.
hi, everyone. I'm Shanti. Probably in like a, how should I say it? Relics of Unibuds.
Not relics, come on. She's my senior, put it that way.
Yeah.
Our seniors all then.
It's great to see everyone, you know, like gathering together. Actually, this topic is a very, very useful topic that it will be forever, you know, like need to be used until you get older. You know, it doesn't matter with your family, with your spouse, or even, you know, in your workplace. And, you know, like, that's like already like in one workplace. If you work in a multicultural background, for example, it's even worse, you know, like, so you really need what Rosie said about not to have assumptions, you know, like in your head. It's really, really important to have that. Some of the time you will have a preconception and thinking, well, that's the way, you know, like how we do things, but that's not necessarily things being done, you know, like on that particular workplace culture, for example. So just keep in mind, you know, like that's kind of like my two cents, you know, like probably being earlier in the workplaces than you guys, you know, like, but keep in mind, and like, because all of these communication skills, resolving conflicts, it will be forever, you know, like a skill that you guys need to keep.
Very and well said, Sean.
Kindness action. I guess, you know, like in a way, Rosie was right, you know, like be careful with your wordings, you know, like, and then because one, I don't really have an example, you know, like on the top of my head at the moment, but even an English word, let's say in Australian context and in Singapore context, for example, because I live in Singapore at the moment, it's completely different. Like, so just be careful with that, you know, so you need to be kind of aware of that.
Oh, and sorry, Shanti. I think I might need to cut you short because the meeting is ending soon.
Oh, is that like limited? Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, there's a time limit. So sorry about that.
No worries.
But yeah, I'll just quickly wrap up the talk. Sorry about this, everyone.